Is 12:10 at CBC, England, Walsall. Okay. So we've been talking about God not being a God of judgment, and God being the one that, through the Holy Spirit, connects us to the true things of the kingdom, which reveal who we are, which gives us hope, which gives us peace, which comforts us, which really prompts us to everything spiritually. And that sounds really good, but then we read some scriptures in the Bible that just go,
really?
Because it seems to totally contradict it. So after I began to get some of this revelation, I deliberately went to some of those places to see what I could find. And I uncovered something that was awesome. And so I just want to share this with you because it connects everything else together as well. And this is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27 through 29. It's talking about, starting in verse number 18, it's making a comparison between Mount Sinai when the people in the wilderness approached Mount Sinai. They didn't want to go. They wanted Moses to go up all by himself because they were scared of this mountain. It represented fear to them. The presence of God represented fear to them. And so it's making a comparison between that and now. And if we look at verse number 25, we can start there. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, how much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And when we read that, it says, if they didn't escape, how are we going to escape? We better not turn away from him. But you see, what they didn't escape from were the things of the world that kept him in bondage. And he said, I've given you a word, and the words of the Spirit, and if you'll heed those things, it will usher you into the things of the kingdom. But when we get down to verse number 27, it signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I used to see myself in my religious days, and I've just felt like I was hanging on to a pole, and it was shaking. And I mean, every time I turned around, there was another trial, another test, and you know, he's just trying to get everything out of me. We get a picture of God like that. He's a consuming fire. He's going to get us, and it's going to hurt. And we associate it with hell, and we associate it with torment. But as I was reading this, at first of all, I noticed the word grace. It says, whereby receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. So what did we determine grace was? God writing words on your heart, giving you revelation that allows you to access the kingdom of God. Okay, so grace is the divine influence of God on your heart and its reflection in your life. So let us receive a kingdom which can't be moved, which can't be shaken, which nothing can take you away from its path, is grace. Receiving that word without letting the words of the flesh do this. That's what keeps things from being shaken. And it says, our God is a consuming fire. And I looked up those different words. And the word consuming means to do away with. What is he trying to do away with? The things that can be shaken, the things of the flesh, the things that oppose the things of the Spirit. But he's a consuming fire. And then when I looked up the word fire, it says fire, specifically lightning. And I thought about that, and I thought about that. But lightning is like a bright light. And a bright light illuminates things. And you can trace this word down to different places, but I'm not going to take the time to do that for you right now. But it just, it illuminates things. And so, God does away with the things that are opposing us by illuminating those things that are opposing us. He does it by exposing the truth. And the truth shows up the error for what it is. And he says he's shaking everything that can be shaken. But all those things that our faith is based on that aren't spiritual don't stand up. They don't last. And he wants to take care of those things. But let's just see if we can search this out and see if we can, if that's really what it's saying. So in verse number 1 of the same chapter, it says, "Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." So who's the author of our faith? Jesus. He's the finisher of our faith. It's all about what he does for us. And what is the sin which does so easily beset us? I looked up the word beset, and it means it's like a competitor that comes against you on every side, trying to keep you from doing what you were created to, or what you're supposed to be doing, trying to keep you from competing the way you were designed to compete. And so what is the sin that really keeps us from getting where we want to go? It's looking to self. It's looking to yourself to define your faith. Looking to yourself to provide the power. Looking to your willpower, which will fail. And he says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that is the author of our faith. He's the one that finishes it. It's all about what he's done for us. And it says right there again, as we go look at the very last, it says in verse 27, "And this word signifies the removing of those things that are shaken." Which word? We have the letter of the word, and we have the spirit of the word. And the letter of the word just magnifies the shaking. But the spirit of the word is the one that causes those things to be removed. And with this in mind, let's go to Jeremiah, and it's Jeremiah chapter 23, and we're going to read verse 29 through 32. It says, "Is not my word as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" And the word rock means stronghold. What is it that breaks the strongholds in your life? Revelation. Getting a word from God. Having an aha moment. That's what breaks the strongholds in your life. But let's read on a little bit. And he says, "Therefore I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. I am against the prophets that say, the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he said it." He's against those people that are saying things that God's supposed to say that God never said. And he said it's the word that breaks these strongholds. What is it that's setting us free from religion? It's the word. It's that revelation that's coming into our heart. That's what is exposing everything for what it is. Because those things that we believed were shaken. They couldn't last. They didn't produce fruit. And he's shaking those things. And now the word is the one that's breaking that stronghold. "Therefore, I'm against their tongues, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord." People who don't know who they are, who've been deceived by an enemy, who have a mixture of the carnal things and the spiritual things, are saying things that are leading all of us astray. And unless we get a revelation of the truth, we have no way to know that those things are not right. And so it goes back. He said he's by grace. He's doing this. He's beginning to plant words in our heart that are beginning to take down the strongholds in our lives. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. And the first two verses are ones you've heard because you've heard Andrew's teaching, "The war is over. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins." He's talking about what John the Baptist is going to come and talk to the people about. But tying this into what we've been talking, let's go to verse number 6. And the voice said, "Well, what shall I cry?" And he said, "All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Amen. And that word "bloweth" means dispels it. When the Spirit of the Lord exposes the truth, the lies are exposed too. And we can begin to see those deceptions. And those things that won't last are just taken away just as easy as one revelation. I tried and tried and tried to get out from under those things. But the only way to get out from under them is by revelation. Head knowledge won't do it. It has to be the Spirit of God, the grace of God, connecting you to the power of God, to God's true things of the kingdom. Because the Spirit of the Lord is the one that dispels it. How does the Spirit of the Lord dispel it? He gives you a revelation. Again, let's go to another scripture. In John, it says, "We shall know the truth." And what sets us free? The truth. It's the one that breaks the stronghold. But let's go and see what John the Baptist actually said. In Luke chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 6. "All flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord." What's it going to take for them to see the salvation of the Lord? To see their inheritance. Unless the Spirit draws them, they're not going to see it. It's going to take the Spirit of God to quicken that. And verse number 9. "And now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." There's that word fire again. Is it talking about literally burning things up? A tree that's not bearing good fruit is going to be hewn down. And that word "hewn" also means frustrated and cast into the fire. When the revelation power of God, this burst of light, this lightning shines forth, it's exposed for what it is. And it has no more power. Let's look at verse 16 and 17. John said, "I indeed baptize you with water." What's water? Here it's water, but it's representing the word. I can tell you what the word says. Okay? "But one mightier than I comes, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose hand fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather the wheat into the garner, but the chaff will he burn with unquenchable fire." It says, there's one coming after me who's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The Spirit of the living God is going to write some words on your heart that's going to enlighten you to some things. And then it says the wheat will be separated from the chaff. The chaff just represents the covering, but there's no life in it. And what's the one thing that's going to separate what has life from what doesn't have life? It's going to take a revelation from God, the Spirit of the living God. That's what he does. He's the one that exposes the truth in us, to us, which dispels the error. John the Baptist said, "I can baptize you with water, but I don't have the power to write it upon your heart." but someone else does. And he's different than I am. He can write it on your heart. And that's what changes everything. Head knowledge doesn't set us free. Heart knowledge does. It's revelation knowledge. The kingdom doesn't come by observation. It comes by revelation. And if we keep taking this little thread, it just like keeps going and going and going. If we look at Isaiah chapter 54, and we're going to read verse 13 through 17. And all of thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. How does he teach us? By revelation, by the power of grace, by the Holy Spirit. In righteousness thou shalt be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. The Holy Spirit takes care of all the terror, all the torment. Behold, they shall gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against me shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. It says when he teaches us, no weapon that's formed against us can prosper. Nothing can come against our righteousness because he has created the waster to destroy and the smith that blows the coal in the fire. What's the waster? It's the Holy Spirit. How are these things dispelled? The Holy Spirit gives you a revelation of the truth. And then the other has no more power over you. But just today, I've taught this several times, but just today I saw something that I never saw before. So in Isaiah chapter 15:14, it says, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee, against you, in judgment, you shall condemn. And the word condemn just means to point out the error. Every word that comes against you, when you get a revelation of the truth, you can say, that's not true. And you dispel the whole error, the whole lie that's coming against you. One little moment of light. And those things don't have power on you. They only have power when you're ignorant, when you don't know, when you have head knowledge. But if you know right here, because the Spirit's given you an aha moment, they don't have power on you anymore. And I read that same verse in verse 17 in the Amplified Bible. I never saw it that I'm the one that condemned it. It was, I thought, well, you know, God, he takes care of that. But it says, he's talking to us, to them that he's talking to. Verse number 17 in the Amplified. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, peace, triumph, and opposition is a heritage that righteousness, this peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. When you get a revelation, you're the one that can say, baloney. This doesn't mean anything. It's so easy when you get a revelation. What we try and try and try to do with willpower never makes it. But one aha word from God can take care of that situation. And where does this ability to do this come from? It's the Spirit of the living God, because he's a consuming fire. He's getting rid of everything that's opposing you, and he's doing it by giving you bits of light, bits of revelation. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. verse number 9. There remaineth a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Which word is able to separate the things of the flesh from the things of the spirit? The revelation word is able to fully expose what's flesh and what's spirit. And then it goes on to say, verse 14, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted, but he never took his eyes off the Father. We're tempted, and then we put our eyes right here. But Jesus never took his eyes off the Father. But he understands the temptation. And then he says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, to the place where he can write a divine word upon your heart, where we can find mercy and the grace to help us in time of need. When you find yourself in a mess, God, bring me the word that will give me what it takes to get through this. I need to hear from you. I need evidence, something right here. We're always tempted when we get in a mess. Dear God, what do I have to do? But there's a difference between, dear God, what do I have to do? And, God, give me an aha, give me a word. Because one has to focus on me, one has to focus on God. And that's what we're missing. We're so self-conscious, we can't see God. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And remember, we have these notes up here, again, on the website. So it's hard to write all this down piece by piece. If you go to Christian Seeking Identity right here, and there's a tab at the top that says Manuals, and then once you click on that, you'll see a thing that says the power of grace, and these are right there. In this particular teaching, I'm not going to ask you a lot of details about anything, so it's going to just be, do you understand what the consuming fire is? That's all. Okay, so, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So it starts in verse number 10. This is Paul speaking. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. How did he lay the foundation that he's teaching us from? He got a revelation from God. And another builds, but take heed every man how you build upon. Are you going to build on it by revelation power? Are you going to build on it with your carnal understanding? You're going to have to be careful how you build on it. Verse 11, for no other foundation can man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So it's saying, be careful how you build. Are you going to build with the work of your hands? Or are you going to build with the revelation power of God that reveals the scriptures to you, that reveals what everything's all about, that sinks you with the power of God? Be careful how you build, because it's going to be exposed. And if any man's, it's going to be determined by fire, and if any man's works shall be burned, he's going to suffer loss. Well, let me tell you how this just works. Mickey was telling you about this man in the United States. His name's Clefo Dollar. And he has this big ministry, and he's been getting a revelation from Andrew's teaching. And he stood before thousands in his congregation and said, you know what? I want you to throw away everything I've been teaching you. You see, he suffered loss. He spent 20 years laying down something that wasted a lot of time. But he said, but every man's going to be saved, yet survives by fire. The same burst of light that revealed that this was worthless still revealed that I am the righteousness of God, because it cannot be shaken. It cannot be, nothing can tamper it. It's all about that. I spent 50 years as a Christian doing this. Being legalistic, teaching things, condemning myself. And it was worthless. I suffered loss. But praise God, it's the same fire that revealed what was wrong was revealed by what's right. And it's not too late. Praise God. You know, we read that scripture according to the law. If any man's work shall be burned, he'll suffer loss, but it'll be revealed. He'll be saved, yet so as by fire. I'm going to make it by the skin of my teeth. Some people are just going to barely make it. He's just saying, I have a way to take care of things. And it's by the Spirit of the living God. God maintains His word of grace forever. It's like, it's the password to the things of the kingdom. It can't be tampered with, because the only way you can access it is to go through that way, through grace. And everything else is going to be exposed that it wasn't really what it was all about. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 5. We are elect according to the sanctification of the Spirit, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, kept and protected by the power of God. Everything we have is protected by the power of God. It's incorruptible because it's what God has planned. So Satan comes to steal the word, and he does it by substituting a false word. He gets us to focus on the things of the flesh and a word that sounds good because he's the God of this world. And he always gets us to focus on the things of the flesh because they can't produce. And he keeps us so busy with the things that can't produce, we really can't be what God created us to be. And we'll never really see the truth of what it's all about. And then the world won't either. So if we go right now to Matthew chapter 13. You know, the enemy sows seeds of the flesh, and they oppose and choke out God's word. So we're going to read about this parable of the wheat, verse 24 through 30 in Matthew chapter 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Who's the one that sows good seed? God, the Holy Spirit. Where's the field? We are. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When I look up the word tares, it says it's false wheat. It looks like wheat. It grows like wheat. But there's only one thing different. It never bears fruit like wheat. So you can't tell it until it's up there to the fruit-bearing stage. You go, ah, something wrong with that. So he said, and then verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the tares come from? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the gatherers, reap. And so he said, there's tares. Should we go get rid of them? If you and I try to root up the tares, you know what happens? We start to sow condemnation to do that. And you root up the wheat with it. Because a minister of the Spirit only ministers by the power of God. Makes you God conscious. But if I try to root up the tares of my life, it's like, oh my gosh, look at this. Then I become self-focused. And it roots up the wheat. And I lose my focus of where God is. And he said, just leave them alone. And it says, let them both grow together until the harvest. How does the tare get rooted away from out from the wheat? When the Spirit comes along, he can root them out. And it's very simple and it's very easy and nothing's disturbed. But if you and I try to go to root them out, then the mixture starts working again and we get the carnal things mixed with spiritual things. We get condemnation mixed with liberty. And we have this life again that does this and this and this and this. All of our faith, all of our hope has to be in the power of God. He's the one that works things from the inside out. From the Holy Spirit from the inside out. He's the power that lives within us. And his word is like a refiner's fire. That word is separating everything, all the impurities, all the lies from the truth so that we will shine forth like pure gold. And we think about this refiner's fire, and again our mind goes to the letter. Oh my gosh, this is going to hurt. This is going to be bad. But all he's doing is just separating the lies, and he does it by the power of his Spirit, one revelation at a time, so that in the end, you will shine forth like pure gold. There won't be any impurities mixed with it, because the impurities are going to be exposed for what they are. The Spirit's going to expose them. No weapon that's formed against us can prosper, and all of our righteousness is being preserved. God provides everything that we have need of. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit, which is grace, which is God doing for us what we can't do with our willpower, exposes the errors, reveals the truth, keeps the truth, purifies us, and the whole power of the gospel is maintained by grace, by the power of influence that God has over us, by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we lose sight of that, and we begin to, I don't think we really understand how much power the Spirit has. We talked about this the other day. If we try and try and try to get someone to believe, and we've spoken to them, and they don't believe, we get frustrated, and we just think, just make a decision. Can't you get it? But if they've never had a revelation from the Spirit, they can't get it. And so instead of us focusing on their stubbornness, Holy Spirit, I thank you. One word from you can set them free. And I just declare that you said that you would not fail the least of us. And so I declare that your Spirit is going to be there, that you are going to give them the evidence they need, and they're going to come forth and proclaim you because they see that you're good. And you see, that's our job. That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. A minister of the Spirit is someone that attracts people to the love of God. Yeah. And when they do that, people run to them, him all by himself, and God does the work that only he can do.
Amen.
Okay. So if we have any questions or... What we're trying to do with the test is... it's going to be a take-home test, I think. And we just have some different... all these different concepts that we've been talking about. The last hour about who you are... as being one with him won't be on the test because that's not part of that series, so it's not in there. But it's just to get you to think about these things, you know. It's just going to ask you questions about what does grace mean to you? Do you see things different? What is the consuming fire? Just designed to, as you read the scripture and you think about it. Because I can't I can only allow the Spirit to flow through me and believe that he'll give you the revelation you need to take it from there. Yeah. And so my desire, my job is not to make you think exactly the way I do. You have all the right to say, but that's how I got everything was saying. What you told me doesn't make sense. And then I began to, Holy Spirit, reveal it to me. Because when you ask questions, it's when God begins to reveal himself. Don't ever take anything because someone else told you. If you have any little doubt about it, you go ask God about it. And don't be happy until you get an answer from God. Don't just believe everything you hear, because that's how everything got started the way it is now anyway. But one thing at a time, as you get a revelation of this part, and you get a revelation of this part, and they begin to come together, it's like, wow, we can understand all those things that we all had questions about for years. Because it's the revelation that does it. But it didn't come by head knowledge, because head knowledge took us the opposite direction. So anybody has any questions?
I mean, I haven't got a question, but sorry. I'm so glad for this teaching of the consumed fire, because in my first year, I had a vision of going in the fire, and the Lord was getting rid of all the rubbish in me. And obviously, I did get a revelation what was happening in my first year. It's getting rid of all that junk, the baggage and stuff like that. But this teaching really is just enforcing what the revelation is, actually giving me another revelation. Now God's got rid of the rubbish, but he's putting the goodness there now. You know, and thank you very much. I'd just like to say thank you. Because while you were talking, I'm getting the revelation.
That's the way it's supposed to work.
You know, and thank you. Thank you. I'd just like to say thank you.
Somebody else?
You got a question?
I was just trying to think of the, you spoke about separating the tares from the yolk, and the tares will be burnt. I was trying to think if that also applies at the end of times, though at you've got three periods, one before Christ and at this moment where it's the way you put it, way it works in our life. Maybe at the end of times also, refer that we'll be living with the people in this world, the prince of this world, and we'll be causing confusion, but it's not our job. And maybe at the end of times, when Jesus comes, we'll be separated.
I think you can, I always looked at it that way. This is just as I was reading it, this just how the Lord downloaded it in my heart. And so some of those scriptures, even like the one in Thessalonians where it says Satan sits in the temple as God, if you read on farther, it's a scripture that a lot of people use when the second coming. But really, his presence, as soon as you get a revelation of him, his presence has already come right inside of you. It's right here going on right now. And so it's, we sometimes get things separated in units, but I'm sure that, you know, I won't, it could be like that. I can't go any past what the way I saw it at that moment.
That's one of the things that I think that, you know, what Susan was just talking about, and she made a short phrase, but a very strong point, is that from my standpoint of view and from our standpoint of view, really, a lot of times, you know, in our Christian life, we're thinking about things and we read things from God's Word, thinking a lot of times that the kingdom is when we, the sweet by and by. But we have to realize the kingdom of God is within us, and it's going on now. Okay? So in that context, it's is how the Holy Spirit, I guess, speaks to us, you know, from looking at it from that perspective, that some of these things that we think are, you know, later on, it's going on now, today, in our generation and stuff. And so that kind of turns things completely around from that standpoint of view. That's why, you know, again, we hear it from different places. The whole world's groaning, you know, that we what? Take our rightful positions in who we are so that we can go forth. And the people will start, the people that don't know Christ, that still are in darkness, there's going to be a whole lot, you know, when the phrase, you know, that he says, "In greater works shall ye do," well, Jesus was here on earth as one person. But guess what? We are here as expression of him. So there's greater multiplication of talents and works that he will be able to do what? Through us. Because we will be Jesus to the world. And that's what, you know, like I was explaining before, that we went from door to door. Well, that's what I told the students to do. Just be Jesus to the people. Oh, God loves you. And they want to pray. Those kind of things. And you know, you heard the situation. Yes, sir. Sorry.
I was just wondering why you didn't use scriptures like, as Christ is, so are we, and greater is he that is in me than he is of you.
We could, you know, it's just, I just begin to follow the thread where it was, all flesh is as grass and the spirit blows, and it began to be those things. And, there's hundreds of scriptures out there. We have another teaching just called Identity Theft, and this is just a little thread of that. Once you, it's like when you get a pair of glasses, you can see something, you begin to see all kinds of stuff. And so, it's wide open for you to see all kinds of stuff. And to put it in the way that God would put it to you.
But you make a very good point, that 1 John 4:17, you know, as he is, so are we in this world, you know? And that's the whole thing of what I was saying, that many times we don't see that the way it is as far as in this world, right now, in the, you know.
And in regard to your question, I've learned that almost everything that I thought I believed has a little twist to it. Maybe not a lot, but enough to make it, folk put it right here instead of up here. And so, you know, my idea of heaven was wrong. My idea of who I am was wrong. My idea of what the focus of the gospel was wrong. And I think that our idea of the second coming, of hell, all of that has got a twist to it. And I can't tell you that I have gone and studied it to where I could stand up in front of you and say, this is the way it is. Because I'm only telling you things that in my heart I'm convinced. But I think in the end, I think we're going to find out that God far more covered things than we thought. And his goodness far, far, we only got a tiny picture of what he all had figured out. But the illustration I used yesterday, you get a revelation here and a revelation here. And so if I suddenly say, well, you're wrong, I can't, and I stick this here. If I don't have a total revelation of something, I have no business sticking it in there. So I don't have a total revelation of everything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In terms of in response to Raha's question, one thing that helps me, although you showed me all the scriptures that you shared, that the word of God is like a double edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, when you put revelation, you showed, for example, if you used what he says in the kingdom of God in the heart, where is the field, and the kingdom of God is in our heart, but also you got the world,
mm-hmm.
and we are the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So the double edged sword, he answers both yours on that side of the sword, and he answers what she's been sharing with on that side.
Mm-hmm.
Just makes the balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing we've been all over and taught all kinds of things, and but we never, we just tell what we've gotten revelation of, and we never try to say, okay, your idea is not right, your idea, we just, you know, praise God, there's Holy Spirit out there, go for it.
That's why we always like to ask questions of people, you know, and we like to hear your testimonies. Because guess what? You know Papa the way I don't know him yet. See, there's a part of you that I want to know about. Because what? We all want to know our Heavenly Father more and more, do we not? You've been through things. You've experienced what God has done in your life personally. That has he has walked through the fire with you. He has brought you to the other side. I haven't seen that side. I've seen other sides. And so as we communicate and we share with each other, guess what? We start to see the image of who our Papa really is more and more by our brothers and sisters who God has demonstrated himself in that particular way for them. And so we get to see more about that. Remember when, you know, sometimes you see a person that's very, they really received a revelation, let's say in with regards to, let's say prosperity. You know, they give, you know, freely and those kind of things, and God multiplies it back to them. And other persons, you know, it's in healing. You know, well, you know, it just flows to them and everything else. God uses them to heal their bodies, but also to uses them to heal others. But this one over here that is in healing, and this one over here is in prosperity and those kind of things. But maybe the guy in healing, well, he's still trying to figure out, oh, where am I going to get my next, you know, payment for this month's rent or something like that. And this one over here who's in, you know, in prosperity and stuff like that, he's thinking, man, I got this shoulder aching. Man, I don't know, how do I get here? See? But when we start to share with each other and we start to receive from each other, then we start to see more of who God is and how God functions. And that's why he said, I think someone brought out the scripture, Psalms 91. And I will show you what? My salvation, you know? And he's revealing these facets, these areas of himself, of who he is in us and what we have. Sometimes, you know, an athlete develops certain skills for certain things, okay? Susan, she loves to run, okay? Now, the middle daughter, she loves to run too, but she loves to run to win. Susan runs just for the delight and to finish, those kind of things. There's two different, you know, areas there. But then we have another one who loves to swim. And so here's these different skills, but they're all skilled in some kind of athletics of some sort. So it's just learning from each other. That's why the body of Christ, we need each other. We need each other to come alongside each other and share with each other and help each other. Like Susan was talking before, you know, I need Mickey to remind me sometimes, what has God said? Well, we need each other to come alongside each other and say, you remember what God said about this? You remember that revelation, you know, that God was bringing you when you're feeling down and when you're feeling those kind of things? What? To dispel the lies that she was talking about. Here's the side. What is my mind telling me? Okay, what is Papa God telling me? What is he saying in his word about? He's kind of...
Thank you once again, Susan and Mickey. We've had an awesome day. Praise God.